Greetings, my name is Ken, and I need to tell you all something very special. Are you ready? Are you ready for me to tell you the special thing? Okay, good. I am so incredibly excited to be home. This is my home. As Chris, as you shared a bit about our two-year experience right here at Outreach Bread Bank, I was reminded that this is my home. Not talking about the building we're currently worshiping. I'm not talking about the name of the church. I'm talking about the group of people, the community of all of you. You are my home. And God used you to teach me so many things about how to be a pastor, how to form Christian community, and so much more. And for that, I am extremely grateful. Indeed, God has used all of you in an incredible way to help me discover my identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ. As I said, it's not just about how to preach sermons and that kind of stuff. Many of you have invested into my life to help me become a better husband to my wife. You taught me how to be a caring father to my baby son. That gets me excited, and that makes me feel grateful. You all are being used to make me a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Friends, I hope that you see, as I make this intimate connection with you all, that God does in fact use Christian communities to help us grow as followers of Jesus Christ. Here's how God does it. He uses the scriptures to shape the way we understand our identity as disciples. Yes, when communities just like Orb embrace the words that Jesus Christ says in the Bible and lives those out, we will absolutely grow in our faith in every single way. And this sermon series that you all are currently working your way through, what God has made, or what He has made us for, is perfectly timed. Because you're cruising through all of these images, these clear and powerful images in the Bible. And these images have the ability to show you this one thing. He made you to be disciples, my friends. To change the way we live in every area of our lives. As I shared how you all were used in my life, God is doing the same thing with these images in the Bible. This is a good sermon series for all of us who call ourselves Christians. We need clarification at times. If there's some of you here today who are brand spanking new to the faith, this is a great sermon series for you to see what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I also recognize from my time at Orb that there might be a few of you here today who don't believe in the God of the Bible. Here's the first thing I have to say to you. We are so happy that you are here. And also, we hope that these images from the Bible will have a shaping force upon your life, unlike anything else the world has to offer. And so here it is today. Here is our image. This is an image that, trust me, it has the ability to completely change the way we understand our identity as disciples. The image, my friend, comes from 2 Corinthians, and it's clay pots. Shocking, right? Something that was used thousands of years ago in everyday life to carry water or wine or maybe even some cool gold coins. And you're laughing because you're really scratching your heads going, how could God use a clay pot to help me grow in my faith as a Christian? If you're asking that question, good question to be asking. Maybe wondering if I'm a little bit crazy. That's okay too. But here's the good news. We are going to uncover the reason or the way that this image helps us understand who we are, who God made us to be. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to read to you the very single verse in which this image comes out of, and then we'll spend the rest of our time unpacking the way that it can help us grow in our faith. Does that sound like a good idea? Good. All right. Amen. I love that too. All right. Before I read it, I just need to share with you, I'm reading from a different version of the Bible that you normally use here at Orb. The one you use here is fantastic, but I find where I'm at in South Plainfield, New Jersey, one of my other goals in life is to change New Jersey one city at a time. Metuchen, which is also Metuchen, that's one's next on my radar screen. But we're finding that the Common English Bible is a very helpful one for us up there. So I'm going to use that translation today. So don't worry. It says clay pots, not clay jars or earthen vessels. It's okay. All right, please listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in clay pots, so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. My friends, in the original context in which this image first emerged in 2 Corinthians, it was used to confront a false way of thinking, a false image that a few Christians had. They had prideful and arrogant opinions of themselves. In fact, they liked to stand up way higher than everybody else and say, God has chosen me to lead other people. I am special and not so much are you. I think they said it that way. So that's the context in which this image first emerged. And as much as it would be great to spend the rest of our time today trying to understand how on earth could these people think such a horrible thing, because when God brings a group of people together, everybody has gifts and talents that are equally as important as anybody else. So completely, that has to be wrong. And as much as we could get a lot out of that, we're going to look at this image in a way that I think it speaks to us today. Because we Christians in 2014, we're confronted with something a little bit different than probably pride or arrogance and egotistical kinds of ways of thinking about ourselves. As a pastor, I get to sit down with many other people at coffee shops or at my house or even in my office. And the one thing that I hear people say time and time again, the one thing that they're struggling with as they grow as Christians has nothing to do with pride, but it has everything to do with anxiety. It got quiet in this room all of a sudden. This isn't just something that I've learned from my own subjective experience. In fact, there is data out there to affirm this claim. A group of statisticians, this is all they do, is they analyze data, they interview people, and they try to figure out where trends are going. And a group of these statisticians interviewed thousands of Christians throughout this country, America, and what they did was they asked them, what is the single most common thread among all of you that causes you to struggle as you grow as a Christian? Hands down, it was anxiety. 60% of those thousands of people all said they feel anxious all the time. Perhaps some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Perhaps you're not struggling with it yourself, but maybe someone that you love oh so much is worried. And the worries can come from all sorts of directions. There are people, some of us here today, we're worrying about finances. It's the beginning of March, but those bills are piling up. At the end of the month, I'm just not sure how I'm going to pay every single one of them. We may not have food to eat on our table. There are people who are struggling, some of us, that are struggling with relationship issues. Perhaps it's with a spouse, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, or maybe even a son or daughter, and they're making some horrible decisions in their lives, and it breaks our weary heart because we want to jump in there and change the trajectory of their life, but they just won't let us. So we worry about them all the time. And then there's some of us here that might be worrying about job stuff, right? The workload just keeps on increasing, but less and less people are being hired to handle it, and we wonder, can we keep up? My friends, anxiety is a real threat to our identity as disciples of Jesus Christ. It can give us headaches so severe that it doesn't seem to matter how many Advils or Tylenols we take, the pounding just never stops. And then there's those sleepless nights, right? Where you lay in your bed till 2, 3, 4 in the morning and you wonder, oh, I need to second guess every decision I made today. I shouldn't have sent that email. I shouldn't have told that person that. They'll never talk to me again. Oh, God, help me. These are real struggles, physical and emotional challenges to the way that we grow as followers of Jesus, my friends. And the only word I can characterize the struggle that we might have or dealing with anxiety is with one word and one word only, and that is darkness. And here's why I choose that word. Because anxiety, and I know this from experience too, it can cause me to isolate myself from all the people that love me so much. I know you care, but I want to deal with this all on my own because you may not understand. I can solve it all by myself. I can do it, but I can't. Anxiety is lonely and dark. And I'm sure that we can all acknowledge this real and present threat to our growth as we follow Jesus Christ, my friends. But I want to tell you something right now, and you need to hear this. There is good news. This image of a clay pot, an image that makes no sense whatever as to why it's going to help us grow, is good news. Because this image will give us hope. This image gives us hope because God will use us for a purpose. Let's figure out what that purpose is. It's right there in our passage. It's treasure. God made us for the purpose of carrying a treasure. This treasure contrasts the heavy burdens that anxiety can weigh down on our shoulders, because a treasure is something so incredibly good. Now, I know you're a good listening audience because I sat here many times with you and I listened too. And as a good listener, you're probably wondering, what is the content of that treasure, Ken? Yeah, I'd rather carry a treasure any day than depression. Good question to be asking once again. You're a great audience. I love you so much. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the verse prior to verse 7 because we're going to find the answer right there. Sidebar, you know what sidebars are? Okay, sidebar way over here. Sidebar this. A good practice on reading the scriptures is when you come to a passage and you're like, I don't quite understand what this means. Read the previous paragraphs before it and read the ones after it. And many times God will reveal the meaning of that passage with just a little extra reading. Please tell Christian that I shared that with you. I'm no longer his intern, but I still think he can give me a grade. I'm in so much trouble right now. Let's check out verse 6. God said that light should shine out of the darkness. He is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. There's our answer. There is the content of this treasure, my friends. The content of the treasure is none other than the good old Jesus Christ, the one who saves. And more specifically, our passage tells us that Jesus Christ is the light that shines out of darkness. The light that shines right on through our hearts. If you're wondering what does that really mean for us, here's an example that I hope you can remember. There's a prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Isaiah. And he's writing at a time when the people of Israel, his people, were worried oh so much. They had threats from enemies on all sides. Soon they were going to lose their homes and perhaps be enslaved by people who just don't like them very much. And they were anxious like you have no idea. And Isaiah records exactly what God says. He says, "Those who walk in darkness, they have seen a great light." And immediately those people had hope. Jesus Christ is far brighter than that light that was revealed to those Israelites in Isaiah. Jesus Christ is the light that shines brighter than the one in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, "Let there be light." Jesus Christ is the light that shines in all of our hearts, that changes our worries into hope. Friends, it is good news that we carry this treasure inside of us. A treasure that completely contrasts those heavy burdens that anxiety always seems to weigh us down at 2, 3, or 4 in the morning. Because this light has the ability to change the way we see ourselves when we look in the mirror. Because we now know that God made us for a purpose, and that is to carry this good news. If you're a good worrier like me, You might be wondering, okay, that makes all sense, and that's fine. I'm a clay pot. I carry a treasure. How do I have to do this on my own? I mean, I may not be strong enough. I guess the burden's a lot lighter than the other burdens I used to struggle with. What do I do? Here's the good news yet again for you to hear. The awesome power belongs to God. Relax. This is how God made each and every one of us. Into a clay pot to carry this treasure, this light that shines in the darkness, which shows us our purpose in life. The burden's on God. And this can give us hope individually as we sit here today. But this can also give us good news of hope as a community. I've been here for a few years. I saw how we had to move around a few times to have a place to worship on Sundays. And yet God still is faithful and has carried this community through a whole bunch of stuff, and there's new faces, and I couldn't be excited more. And as I understand, you're about to take some huge steps of faith in another place in Tinton Falls, and that gets me even more excited. I'm praying all the time for y'all. And right now, you're probably pumped up and excited, but what about a few months from now when things aren't going exactly how you might have thought they should have gone? And all of a sudden, those worries should be right to make a decision. What should we do next? When all those things come into play, remember this. You are a community of clay pots. I'm dealing with the same thing in South EP, South Plainfield, New Jersey. We're dealing with the same thing. We've made significant changes to our identity as a church. And as much as we take these huge steps forward, there are times where we feel like we're getting knocked right back down. But we have to always remember that God made us into a clay pot with a treasure. And here's another image that I hope helps you see what that means as a Christian community. It's the same one that Jesus Christ gave a large group of people, just like the ones who are gathered here today, when he says, "You are a city on a hill." If you're from where I'm from, the desert, you know how powerful that can be. When you're driving up to Las Vegas, maybe you've done that, and you look far off and there's just darkness all over the place, and then all of a sudden you see this whoosh, these huge lights, and you feel like the bug from A Bug Life going, "Must go to light, must go to light." Being a city on the hill is way more powerful than that, because there are people right here in Tinton Falls, New Jersey, and the rest of Monmouth County, who are struggling with anxiety, and they don't know the good news of what God has made them for. They don't know that He put light into them to transform them on the inside so their actions change on the outside. They don't know this. But that's why God is gathering us together right here in this building today and perhaps somewhere else in the near future. That's why God's doing this, to be a city on the hill. And some of the best ways that we can embrace our identity as disciples of Jesus Christ in this way is sitting right here in this room. It's you. As I started off, you are my home. You are my family. You can do the same for each other. Community groups are the best idea I've ever heard. Literally, the best idea I've ever heard. Participate in them. These are opportunities for you to encounter other Christians who are going through the same sorts of anxieties that you are. I bet you they are. And it gives you all a chance to share scripture with each other, to pray for one another, to do what you all do so amazingly, which is to meet with each other outside of Sunday for coffee, to work through the hard stuff. My friends, my family, I'm excited about what God is going to continue to do in this church. I'm excited about this sermon series. I'm excited about only being 45 minutes away so I can come down and eat delicious meats and scream my head off at what God is doing through this church as a bunch of clay pots who are shining the light of Jesus Christ in Tinton Falls and Monmouth County. Would you please pray for me with me? Dear Lord, You know I'm excited. I'm excited because of the way that You bring this community together, home. I'm excited about the way that You use this community to shape the way we live, to be followers for You. We see who we were made for You. And Lord, I pray for Outreach Red Bank, a church that is very special to me, a church that is very special to many people sitting in these pews tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to use this community to encourage and build each other up, to help other people who are just not sure what it means to follow you see oh so clearly. Use clay pots, use ambassadors, use letters, use whatever images from your scriptures you choose to use to make us stronger, to take away those heavy burdens of anxiety so we don't have to live that way anymore. Oh Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.